We'll have a public hearing on Senate Bill 2. Senator Durfler?
Thank you.
Do we stand? Supposed to stand at attention.
Thanks a lot. Gene Durfler, representing the Salem area, and this has to do, of course, with aviation. I could bring you up to date what brought this about. Last session, as you know, they passed a bill that took the aviation unit out of ODOT and made a separate unit out of it. And in the discussion of setting up the board to review the change, there was a discussion about who's going to be on the board. We got into somewhat of an argument. Some of the members wanted a certain group, and the governor wanted a different group. And since it's the governor's prerogative of who he appoints, there was a compromise made that the governor could have his choice of the three people he wanted, and the committee got two people that they wanted, but it left out a group of people that should have been on it, which was people who were paying the bill. And so the governor agreed, and the other two members agreed, that they would support this measure that would expand the board to 7 members so that we could get people on the board, primarily like from the Port of Portland, who are paying the bill and are not represented on the board. That's the purpose of the bill. We hope that you would pass it out and get it on the floor and get it on its way so we can expand the number of people that are on that board.
So we're growing government.
We're growing government.
Correctly? Okay.
That's what we do best.
If that's an order. Aye, aye, sir. Questions for Senator Durfler? Senator Courtney?
Thank you, Chair. Senator Durfler, the amendment, is there an amendment on this?
I think Betsy Johnson has an amendment to
show. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought maybe you wanted to. Okay, great.
Okay.
Further? Senator Brown?
Are you copacetic with Representative Johnson's amendment?
Sure. It's okay. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson, would you like to get in and get out?
Thank you for this courtesy.
No, she says he's in a hurry.
For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I'm very supportive of Senate Bill 2 and appreciate the fact that Senator Durfler has made the effort to get this bill introduced. I was part of the discussion about appointments, and I think that having a larger board would allow a broader scope of interest to be represented. I would only ask, however, that as a policy point, that we try to make sure that the folks that are elected and confirmed represent broad aviation interests and that we don't have specific slots on this board. The idea of the board is to be the convocation point for aviation policy issues in the state, and I would hope that as the governor makes his appointments and the Senate confirms them, that we're mindful of having a broad spectrum of opinions at the table. Based on my experience running this little agency, I have offered an amendment and have spoken with Senator Durfler about it, and as Senator Brown has ascertained, he's comfortable with it. The amendment would allow the board to meet quarterly or at the call of the chair if there's pressing business. In my experience running a very small agency with the monthly demands of taking care of a board and doing meetings around the state is onerous, and I would like to just give the department enough flexibility that they can get the department's business done and still have the opportunity to meet more often, but that monthly meetings are not mandated. And I've discussed this, as I said, with Senator Durfler. I have discussed it with the lobbyists for the Port of Portland and have called the department and discussed it with them and have received no objections to that proposal.
Very good.
Thank you. I would add only in closing that the little department is performing exactly the way that we anticipated that it would, and I know some of you were instrumental in helping to make that happen or vote for its creation. And I'm very pleased to report, and I think you'll hear as the session moves on, that it's performing very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, wait, stand by.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just so you know, Representative Johnson, the statement, I don't mean to be real technical. I don't know what I understood some. There were some things going on here a few weeks ago over this, and I didn't listen carefully because I just didn't listen carefully. Senator Durfler just said something on the record, but I'm noting the language of the bill, and The board membership shall represent diverse aviation interests from both the private and public sector. That's the new language, which supposedly, so it's more than just increasing from 5 to 7. That other dark language suggests that there's something else going on here. I just hope that the language is written, Representative Johnson, accomplishes or guarantees what the parties involved want to have happen. That's all I'm going to say, because I noticed in the membership here, it talks about regents of the state, I believe, geographic regions of the state, and then it talks about same political party. Then the only thing else it says, private and public sector, and I don't mean to complicate issues, but it's conceivable the language is so broadly drawn that when you get beyond this period of time in our legislative history, something else is going on out there that, that was not your intent. And that's all I'm going to say in terms of just making sure that you're comfortable with that particular language, not the 4, the 5, the 7, but the actual other language which refers to diverse public and private interests.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Courtney, thank you very much for making that observation. It had been my view, in as much as I was intimately involved with the creation of the new department, that the board would always be a clearinghouse for aviation policy issues in the state. Mm-hmm. We were interested in having diverse interests at the table. I know that the airlines have been interested in making their voice known, perhaps in a greater role than they are playing heretofore, by virtue of the fact that they're concerned about increases in jet fuel taxes. I'm not sure how long the airlines or the Port of Portland will find conversations about the future of Beaver Marsh State Airport to be the stuff that their dreams are made out of. But I absolutely think that it is appropriate for all specters, public and private, of the aviation community to be represented on the board and to use this board as a clearing point for diverse points of view that will affect aviation policy. I'm comfortable and satisfied with the language, and I think it certainly accomplishes the concern of the Port of Portland to make sure that public institutions would also have a spot at the table should the governor decide that their participation was in the best interest of the creation of aviation policy for the state.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody know where Beaver Marsh International Airport is? Raise your hand.
If you don't know,
then you have to leave. Sorry.
I don't know where it is.
I did that.
Downtown Beaver
Marsh. Downtown Beaver Marsh. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Is that in Oregon?
It's on the way to the capitals.
It's not a suburb of Portland.
Mr. Martin. Roger Martin.
Downtown Beaver Marsh.
45 miles. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Roger Martin, and I represent Alaska Airlines, and because of their position, I also represent the Air Transportation Association, which is the national organization of the major airlines. And, Mr. Chairman, I do know where Beaver Marsh is. There's a little tavern on the right-hand side of the road, and when I was running for statewide office, I actually campaigned in there for a half hour in a snowstorm one time.
Did any votes?
Well, they said they were going to vote for him, but I don't have any idea how to check that out. Last session, two bills passed that that kind of converge in our concern. One of them was the separation of the aeronautics section from the Department of Transportation and the creation of this new Department of Aviation. The other was the only part of the transportation financing package that passed and stayed passed was a doubling of the fuel tax on jet fuel, that's what the airlines pay, and on the private pilots' aviation gas. And our concern, when the department was formed, I had requested early on with the governor's office that a representative from the airlines be appointed, and I had even suggested the name of an individual who's not only, he's now retired as an airline pilot, he's also a helicopter pilot, a fixed wing, both jet and prop plane, and a seaplane instructor, a very gifted pilot who would have been interested in more than just the issue of what the airlines may or may not be concerned about. And
this,
Senator Durfler,
this is a good bill that you're addressing.
Pardon?
This is a very good bill that you're addressing.
My concern, we got passed up. The five people appointed all were from the private pilot sector and nobody from the airlines. Our concern is that with the doubling of the jet fuel tax, last year, $2,012,000 was collected from jet fuel and about $450,000 of avgas. What that ends up adding up for biennium is about $4 million worth of jet fuel tax and about $900,000 worth of avgas, which means that the jet fuel tax is about 81% of the budget of this new agency, and we don't have any representation whatsoever. I'm not saying any of the money is being misspent. I think Ann Krupp does a good job. We've got no bone to pick with the board of directors right now. I just think it's only fair that we have some representation on that, because the pressure is going to be to spend most of that money on the non-commercial airports in the state of Oregon, and there is a need, and I think the Port of Portland would point out to you, for consideration of some of that money being spent at the commercial spots, especially with the kind of money we're spending on. So I would support the bill.
Thank you, Mr.
I'm sorry I went too long.
Keith. Bill's getting worse and worse.
I have a couple of pages, Mr. Chair, I'd like to read. Keith Levitt from the Port of Portland. We support the bill, and we would agree with the amendments that Representative Johnson is putting before you as well. And with that, I will end my testimony.
Any questions? Thank you, Keith. Mr. Wilkins.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Bill Wilkins from Corvallis, and I'm chair of the newly created State Aviation Board. I'm pleased to be here with you today. What I just submitted was the testimony of Director Ann Krupp, who is at another hearing simultaneously with this one. Basically, what her written testimony does is tell you who the members of the board are. There are short biographical statements of the five members of the board. Gives you a copy of the mission statement that we have adopted, short statement of purpose that we've adopted, and provides the, and you have all, otherwise you have the fiscal impact of the proposed bill. The board has not taken a position on the bill. I have talked to all the board members that I could reach on short notice about it. There is some concern on the board because we are brand new. We have had four meetings so far, and we've adopted a pattern which I think the committee may find of interest, that is, we're not staying in Salem for our meetings. Our first original meeting was in Salem at the department's offices. Since then, we've met at the airport at Corvallis, the City Hall in Roseburg, and most recently in the conference rooms at Portland International Airport of the Port of Portland as their guests. We intend to do that, continue to do that. We'll keep moving around the state. The board members will point out that we are brand new. We feel that we are broadly representative of aviation. We have on the board myself, for example. I have a background in aviation that goes back to my boyhood, quite literally, including a time when I served as associate administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration. I've long been associated with Oregon State University's Transportation Research Institute, the agency in higher education that deals with aviation policy and aviation matters. The member from Medford, Mike Burrow, is a commercial real estate person there with extensive property interests in and around the Medford Airport. He is a multi-licensed pilot, a great many different kinds of ratings. Member Lisa Dahl from here in Salem is a corporate, currently she was a fixed base operator, the person who provides the services at an airport. She's currently a corporate pilot and an instructor pilot. Carrie Novak from Redmond is the manager of the Redmond Airport, which is an air carrier, commercial air carrier service airport, and a very knowledgeable person in that regard. And then Mike Nelson, the vice chair, is the only one on the board who is not aviation background, except the riding and airplanes, which he's done a lot because he's from Baker City, and he served in this body as a member of the House. Some of the board members, myself included, think that we need time before you start messing with the board. We need time to figure out how this thing is going to work. We think we're broadly representative, as I said. As far as if I speak to the amendment at the same time, there's no concern on the board that I can detect about the amendment as long as we have the power to call ourselves into meeting more often. We fully intend to meet monthly. We're learning our way. We've got work to do. We intend to do it. If you change the law to give us flexibility that we don't have to meet every month, that would be very useful. That could be very useful, but in the foreseeable future, board fully intends to meet monthly, perhaps even so more often than that, as we begin to get our work done. I'd be pleased to try to one final point. I would point out that the department, as Representative Johnson just said, the department is quite small. There are only 16 employees of the department, 8 FTE, I believe, in that language. I think there is a little bit of concern about the propriety of having a board that's as large as the employee base of the department that we've advised them to. I'd be pleased to try to answer a question, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Questions for the chair? You can handle all those extra people, can you?
Well, I think we can, yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Senate Bill 2. Okay. With that, close the public hearing. Open the work session, SB 2.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Minutes.
I want to make sure I understand
Minutes, sir.
Mr. Martin's concern. Mm-hmm. Is it, Mr. Martin, you want corporate representation on the board, aviation corporations, or what do you...
Airlines, commercial airlines.
Commercial airline.
But that's up to the governor. I mean, this
well, it isn't up to the governor if we put it in the bill that way.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there, huh? Okay. Chairman, I'll move the bill to the floor of the Duke House recommendation.
Okay. Okay.
Wait a minute. Nuisance amendment.
Yeah, the amendment. The amendment first.
Yeah.
Somebody move the amendment.
Move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 2, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Minnis moves the dash one amendments to this.
No. Yeah, Senator Miller.
Miller.
He's the more suave and debonair of the two of them.
Much more senior.
Much more senior.
Truth's correct.
Senator Miller moves the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 2. Discussion, objection. Hearing none, so order.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move the move Senate Bill 2 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Miller moves Senate Bill 2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none, the word. Close the work session on 2. Open the public hearing on Senate Bill 21.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Miller.
As you're preparing to sustain that bill, I want to recognize a friend of mine that Senator Brown also recognized, former Representative Bob Pickard, and his wife Mary Lou out in the audience right over here. Formerly a resident of Bend, Oregon, and now Oakland. Oakland, Oregon.
Welcome.
So there you go.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
The reason why some of his colleagues didn't recognize him is because my recollection is at the end of his legislative career, he switched from Republican to Democrat. Am I correct?
There's more to it.
Oh, in Douglas County? Okay. Makes sense. You're a smart man.
Senate Bill 21. Nobody wants to talk to this?
No.
Well, why should we care if they don't care?
This was a bill that was
that was drafted at the behest of the Legislative Administration Committee, specifically for Mr. Greg Chamoff, the Legislative Council, to clean up some language in the statute.
I think you probably know someone who's ready to talk to it, huh?
Senate Bill 21?
Senate Bill 21.
Okay, you're on.
Mr. Chair, members, Ted Reitlinger from the Legislative Council's office. Mr. Chamoff, in another meeting, asked me to come and speak about this bill. Apparently, this is simply a statutory cleanup because the Constitution used to say long ago that when the governor left the state, that other persons became governor in his absence. And that is no longer the case under the Constitution. It has since been amended. The language in there now speaks to the presiding officers of the legislature serving as governor when the governor is unable to serve due to a temporary inability to discharge the duties due to some disability. Under the Constitution, under Article 5, it specifically lays out the succession to the office of governor. If the governor were to die or to become disabled, the presiding officers of the legislature are far down on that list below the Secretary of State and the Treasurer, so the likelihood of a presiding officer of the legislature actually becoming governor is remote. However, this bill is a simple cleanup to reflect provisions in the Constitution that no longer exist.
Whoopee. Sid, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 21 and open the work session on Senate Bill 21.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 21 is drafted to the floor of the DuPass recommendation.
Senator Brown moves Senate Bill 21 to the floor as drafted with a DuPass recommendation. Discussion, objection, hearing none, so ordered. We need carriers for these things, don't we?
Yes.
Senator Brown gets 21. Who wants two? I'm a pilot.
I'll do two.
You do two?
Yeah.
You want two and 21?
I'll do both of them.
All right.
I think I can handle it.
Okay.
That'll keep you from beating up on us.
That's right. Keep them busy. All right. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 21. I feel so useful today.
Intimately involved with the negotiations.
We can fix that.
Take care of that one.
All right. Let's open a work session. The Senate rules. Take a look at the, I think we've got this thing just about put to bed. We have a draft statute that makes the old 260 in a, and puts all the language in there with the reporting. I don't know if everybody gets a chance to go through this. Ted left there.
Could he, Mr. Chair, could you come up and
yes.
answer some questions?
He certainly may. So this thing is still wet on this, but I'm real comfortable with the way this thing came out. I really like it. So, Senator Brown.
The question I have and the one we wrestled with is that the caucus, I'll talk in terms of what I know for our caucus, and that is that we have a Senate Democratic Leadership PAC that raises dollars for our candidates. Under this proposal, that PAC is not required to file a contribution and expense form. Is that correct? And along with the members of the assembly or candidates, correct?
That doesn't say.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, I'm not sure that's correct.
Okay.
If you look on page 4...
Paragraph 4 answers my question.
Right. It says that a political committee affiliated with a caucus of either house has to report they receive a contribution. This is the same language from the existing statute.
Okay.
So if that PAC was prohibited under 260-174 from receiving money during the session, then that PAC will have to report under this language.
Great. Okay. And so it's a political committee affiliated with a political party would be, for example, if the Democratic Party of Oregon set up a campaign PAC to elect to help candidates fundraise for the legislature would be required to report, correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, I think that's correct. That would be, actually, I gave you the wrong subsection heading. Subsection 3 would be the one that covers contributions to members. Subsection 4 is the special section just for the governor.
Okay.
But yeah, if the political party PAC is raising money and it's going to give that money or spend that money on behalf of candidates for the legislature, they're covered.
Yeah, this is to the word of what we used to do. Is it just says report now instead of prohibit, which is.
Wait a minute, Mr. Chairman. Okay. This question: where is political party defined?
Chapter 248 of the election laws of the Oregon Revised Statutes defines who qualifies as a major and a minor political party.
The distinction I wanted to get to is: does this language have to refer to a major or minor political party, or is it, for the record, intended to include both?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, I believe this language would cover any party, whether it's a major party or a minor party.
Okay.
So,
for the record.
The Green Party.
Right, or what, Joe Schmo sets up his own party.
What I need is to make this committee bill, get it forward. Any,
Mr. Chair?
Good question.
I'm submitting a motion to make LC 2577 a committee bill, and I would be delighted to make that motion.
Senator Brown moves that we make LC 2577 a committee bill.
I still have a question or two.
Discussion.
Reporting. So we walk through that real quick.
Reporting, the Secretary of State will develop a simple little form very similar to the supplemental that we did in January. Just report a contribution.
It should be fairly minimal.
One-liner, just.
What's the cycle?
I'm only chuckling, Mr. Chair. A simple little form developed by the Secretary of State.
Yeah. I chuckle, too.
All right.
What's the sequence and time? Contributions received, when does it have to be reported?
This draft says within 24 hours, business day, next business day.
Where's that language?
Is that, Mr. Chair?
Okay, one business.
One business day.
Where does it say that?
Page 4, paragraph 5.
So, I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
On that point, to what Senator Miller raised last time, if a contribution from an event comes on a Tuesday, report on Wednesday. If a contribution from that same event comes in the following or 2 or 3 weeks later,
next business day.
Next business day from time of receipt.
Same way we do it now. Okay. This is exactly the way we do business today. Exactly.
The 24 hours is exactly?
No, they're reporting the time frame, the receipt of that part of it. Yes, Senator Miller.
It might be instructive to have, if, for instance, the recently reordained former Representative Edmondson comes in and says he has this fundraising opportunity to have former president, soon to be former President Clinton, come to town and have a huge fundraiser. And they have it at 8 o'clock. What, he's having them? Oh. They have it at 8 o'clock.
Right now?
7 p.m. on Wednesday night. And people in their enthusiasm just buy their tickets at the door. Unless it's not like a Republican fundraiser, they actually have hundreds of people show up. And there's just a stack of checks. And you're suggesting that report has to be all figured out in each contribution. Maybe they come in a minute after one another. 24-hour clock begins to run, and each one of those has to be subject to a report to the Secretary of State's office in 24 hours?
Well, what's your suggestion?
That's correct.
I mean, what's the will of the committee? It can't be September. Is the next day, you know, 2 days?
So the question is, what again?
That's why at one point I discussed with Senator Brown maybe a quarterly report as opposed to, I don't mind our own rules in the Senate saying we 24 hours notify the world. but there are other people in this, and they're not necessarily, they won't be stymied during a legislative session.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Brown.
Our proposal would have been 48 hours, but I'm pretty happy with a relatively short time period. I think the message we're trying to send here is that we're not real excited about people raising huge amounts of dollars during the legislative session for legislative candidates, and we make their lives difficult, so be it. And I don't think we want people raising money during the session. I'm sorry.
I can answer the question,
sure.
On that. If this fundraiser with the former President Clinton took place, and it wasn't necessarily specified at the time that this money would go to legislative candidates, but perhaps it helped the operations of a major party, you could probably conclude that candidates might benefit from that operation. Maybe it'd be some kind of a voter ID program that all candidates would benefit from. Should that activity be reported?
Would they be allowed to do that fundraiser under the old rules? Ted?
Mr. Chair, the language of the existing statute is the same here. So if the PAC was raising money on behalf of a legislative official or a statewide candidate, that would have been prohibited.
So it was prohibited yesterday, but today it has to be allowed. So all we're saying today is we'll have reporting requirements that are fairly strict because we want to kind of discourage it. It's the intent. Representative, or Senator Byers.
Well, I share Senator Miller's concern. 24 hours is too short. I'm just realistically, we're trying to discourage it, but we're allowing it. We can't stop it. So I think you need to have some reasonable standards in there. I don't think you want to create a law that it's very hard for people. I'm thinking maybe 3 days, 72 hours.
Mr. Chair, I guess in argument in opposition to the position taken by Senator Miller and Senator Beyer, it seems to me that if the notice of the Secretary of State is in the form of a fax notice, similar to what we do now, you know, just prior to an election, or the most recent report just prior to December 31st, those notices are merely notices to the Secretary of State's office, and they're not a CNE, a contribution expenditure report. An accumulation of those contributions would subsequently be filed at the next reporting period. So it's just a matter of writing down the pertinent information on a form and faxing it to the Secretary of State's office. To me, that seems relatively simple. I mean, mine's all in a computer. I can email it, fax it, whatever. It's not that hard.
Eric Atkinson.
I agree with Senator Miller and Senator Beyer regarding just knowing how these things would work in the real world away from the take the legislative session time out of it. And let's say that we had this same or a similar requirement during a campaign season. It wouldn't work. And I think now instead of discouraging it, now we're entering into a whole realm of semantics discussions between checks at the Clinton fundraiser at 7 o'clock, having all those checks entered in the 24-hour time click. I would agree with lengthening it slightly.
Okay, Kate and I say 1 day. Who says 2 days? Or John, I'm sorry.
I like the 24 hours.
Okay, there's 3 votes for 24. You guys, 48 or 72?
I'm 72.
I guess that's shorter than quarterly, isn't it?
Yeah. Are you a quarterly?
No, that's fine.
72?
Quarterly.
72. Senator Courtney?
48.
Okay, 3-2-1. Ted, if you will just leave it as a committee bill, you guys want to put in a formal motion Thursday when we're trying to adopt this, and that's fine, too.
Leave the time frame blank.
Okay. Mr. Chair? Well, I stepped out of the room to attend legislative business to make sure the process runs right. Did anybody discuss just deleting the political committee affiliated with a political party? Okay.
Only how long? Just reporting.
Just that
okay.
Long.
Yeah. All right.
You and I voted for 24 hours.
Great.
Okay.
You know, we're thinking alike.
And we won. Menison, you and I won.
Okay.
Let's leave it at three. We'll make a, you know, let's see if we, if you guys want to try and ram to a motion on Thursday. That's okay.
The opening remarks about everything that will come out of the committee will be a 7-0 vote.
To the max.
Go by eight is gone, baby.
Mr. Chairman.
I said, one thing, you're going to be partisan.
I'm going to join the 48-hour group as a matter of compromise.
I'm very happy with 48 hours, Mr. Chair.
Makes sense, believe me.
Enlightened
way to go. I've done my political grandstanding. I can get 48 hours.
I'll give in. Two business days.
Mr. Chair, the motion that Senator Brown made was to adopt the bill as a committee bill. I would suggest that the committee, if that's the committee's pleasure, that we do that and then we draft amendments to change the time frame.
No, we can draft it.
Well, if we can amend it now before it stays in paper.
We have a committee bill. The reason I suggested that is just that we have... if we were to schedule this bill for Thursday, I don't think we could get this in for Thursday unless we did the amendments.
Process. Really?
But we can certainly put it off till next week. If
that's
no, let me do this. Let me do this again.
The bill will be printed tonight in its current form. I don't think, am I correct in that?
You couldn't just change that if we agreed on the 2 days?
Yeah.
Just make that one.
Mr. Chair, we could, I think we could make that change, to change it to two business days.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we can go one further. We can suspend the rules and just move the bill to the floor if we want conceptually and then tell them to print the bill. It's there. We don't have to bring a silly thing back if we feel like time's of the essence.
Let's save that for May.
I can live with
48. Okay, change it 2 days. Two business days, that means the same thing. That's, let's say, Thursday says. That takes in,
that's not a quarter.
That takes in the weekend stuff.
We still have a motion.
It's better than one.
What's the motion?
We need to have...
So Senator Brown withdraws the original motion. Okay. All right. And Senator Menace moves that we amend.
Yes. Amend LC 2577 dated 1-16-01.
Motion.
Oh, you got rid of my motion?
Yes, we did.
We did it because we needed to be cooperative.
You were out of the room.
Senator Menace moves that we amend LC 2577 to two business days instead of one.
Yes.
Yes. Discussion, no objection. So ordered. And Senator Menace moves LC 2577 to
adopt as a committee bill.
Adopt as a committee bill.
As amended.
As amended. Discussion, objection.
There you go.
Okay, we can do this?
Yes.
7-0.
Cool. 7-0. See, I had to give in, but I gave in.
That's a big give in there. Yeah.
Yes, and everything in just like no worries. You got it. You already done.
That was pretty good.
You already sent the bill before.
All right. Before we hold it,
let me do something. First bill on the floor, I'm asking, let me do something.
Yeah.
The first bill going from this committee to the floor, and I was in the test fund, but I'd like to be.
So you want unanimous?
Not going to the floor?
Yes, Senator, do it.
I'd like to have permission.
Senator Carter requests we suspend the rules to allow him to vote on the Senate bill, too. Okay, so ordered.
That's why you're happy.
I just wanted to first go out. Come on, let me hear you.
We're fine.
All right,
how do you vote?
Can I have
Senator Carter, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Senator Carter, you vote aye.
You look like a generator, wife.
He votes aye.
Yes, I vote aye. Thank you. I move that we adjourn.
We've got him off the record.
Thank you.
All right. If we have to